Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Life Without Limits podcast. I'm your host, Yogi Raw. Thanks for tuning in. It's episode 33. I love this, man. This has been, as I've said many times, really gratifying form and a muse for me in storytelling. Just to sit down and do these long-form interviews. As we've gone through the college football season, we've talked to some really unique people, starting with Thomas Williams, right, the former linebacker, played at USC and then, of course, in the NFL for a while. And as we went on with other interviews, they always had a lean towards college football. The last one you heard was David Feldman and Tom Satursky, who are the producer and director of our crew at the Pac-12 Network and who I get to work with every single week and been with the last 4 years, take you inside a broadcast. And today's, I'm really excited about it. It's Carter Henderson. And Carter Henderson is a name you may not be extremely aware of, but get used to his name. I think he's going to be an athletic director before too long in major college athletics. Currently, he's at the University of Washington, where I called a game this past weekend. He's the associate AD in marketing and communication. And basically that means his job, along with an amazing team that he has, new athletic director there and Jen Cohen, their job is to craft the story around the athletic department. And his job, he's basically the chief storyteller. So you see all the marketing campaigns, the stories being shared, and while journalists and people like myself, we become the voices that share those or the pens that write about those, Carter and his squad really shape together and put out all the storytelling, basically capabilities within this program. So he met with Chris Peterson prior to the season, and really when he first got there, just kind of lay out the foundation story of this program. And now you're starting to hear about it. You know, they're one of the top four teams in the country. They got a huge game this weekend at Utah, but I wanted to have him on, not only because UW is crushing it, in my opinion, they're going to make it to the college football playoff, but I wanted to know where his storytelling began, because he's responsible for telling this big brand story, the story of this football team and this program, and his story's fascinating. You know, he began in Florida as a surfer, learning about storytelling from his dad through the art of sport. And I think as athletes, sometimes we don't realize we are involved in these epic stories until we get older. You know, think about the youth team you're on that went undefeated or didn't win a game. I mean, there's a story there. And like always on this podcast, we try to explore the idea of what makes us human. And I think going for it and living an authentic story is a major reason why. And Carter, he shares why he believes storytelling needs to be done with a purpose. So I think you're really going to dig it. We're in his office at UW in Seattle right before I called Oregon State UW game. And he goes there. He's not afraid to be vulnerable. He shares some really cool elements. And I think you're going to value the authenticity in his voice, in his stories, and hopefully in this podcast. So don't want you to wait anymore. Dive right into it. Thanks for rating, reviewing, subscribing. Tell your friends. And here we go. Carter Henderson. Oh, here we are in these beautiful offices. Carter Henderson, thankful that you're joining us, man. Associate Athletic Director of Marketing and Communication. I always like to start here on podcasts because I think it's important to set a stage for viewers or listeners. What's your first recollection of us coming in contact with one another?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I don't remember when we actually first came in contact. I remember, you know, when Coach Sarkisian got the job up here. And there were so many, we called them transplant Trojans, people who had come from USC and were up here at UW now. And I just kept hearing over and over, man, you got to connect with this guy, Yogi. You got to connect with Yogi. You guys are thinking on the same page. You guys got to get up. So there was so many people who kept saying that I needed to connect with you. Finally, it may have been around a game or something. I don't actually remember when we first met, but I felt like I'd known you for a long, long time.
Yeah, no, I can remember. And I always like to ask this because I think it's fun. I think everybody always has a different perspective of when they meet one another, and we never ask it, right? Mm-hmm. So I always try to make it a little awkward off the top. But I can remember hearing similar elements. You know, Jared Blank, you got to meet this guy. You got to meet this guy. But my first like real authentic memory is actually in Las Vegas. Hello. But it's in Las Vegas during the men's basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. And we just posted up and talked like life, philosophy, mm-hmm. and most importantly, storytelling. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. where I saw I've leaned in with you. So I'm curious because we'll go down your career and your resume from PR. You've done creative elements. You've worked everywhere from, which I can't wait to talk about, Santa Fe Community College. I'm sure that was an epic experience.
That's
but
right.
Went to Florida. Yep. We'll dive into that path. But how would you describe yourself?
Oh my gosh, what a man, you just came at the hard hitting stuff from jump. Like, could you get a broader question? Yo, I love it. I think, well, I would say professionally, I would first start with you know, I love the approach of storytelling for sure. And I've actually been an avid listener of this podcast and love hearing some of the thoughts, whether it's Alexis Jones or my man Kevin Carroll, who's like maybe one of my favorite people on the earth.
Totally.
And I love their approach to storytelling and really dissecting the elements of storytelling. And so I think within the context of athletics and certainly college athletics, I think I'm a storyteller, hopefully, and a brand builder and somebody professionally who can understand a story and relay it to a lot of people.
Where does that come from? Like let's dive back.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And I think for me, so I studied journalism at the University of Florida, which I think is when I kind of first, even rewind a little bit, if you'll allow me. So I grew up very much in the framework of athletics. And so my dad was a high school basketball coach. His dad was a high school basketball coach. And so my brother and I just totally grew up within kind of a team sports culture, and really, really grateful for that. And so I was a basketball guy, and I was okay. You know, I was kind of like, they always would call me coachable, which I learned later in life meant just
like
really,
high effort guy,
just really not very good, you know? But you know, I had a lot of passion, you know, so we did that. And then, when I got to college, I started to realize what had long since been evident and apparent to anybody who had ever watched me play basketball, which was, I really wasn't going to be able to make a living doing this for the rest of my life. So I became really aggressive about the business side of athletics and sports. And I think marrying that desire alongside my educational pursuit, which was in journalism, I had an outside concentration in film. So I was very much interested in storytelling. And I've long believed that sports offers some of the greatest stories you'll ever find. I mean, it's stuff that you couldn't make up. And so I then kind of set out, my life's work will be in college athletics. It's something I really, really believe in. And I think within that context, I found a niche for myself about storytelling and brand building with a purpose. And so I think that's where it came from for me, was having really benefited from the culture of team sports, and then also being a person who's just really captivated by storytelling and being able to marry those two.
So, and as a youth hoopster, you know, you go into your dad's teams playing with your bro. Did you look at seasons like you do maybe now without realizing of like what a great story about our team? Like for me, I can remember watching games. Like I can remember this like yesterday. And my favorite things to this day in TV is the tease before the announcers come on, because it's epic, right? It's like great shots and there's this great voice and it tells this great story. So to get back to the story side of you, why story? You know, as an athlete, because you reference team, you reference community building, you reference when you got older, but stay young for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and a lot of times we may not even realize it. We certainly can't necessarily articulate it. But to me, sports offers everything that story does. I mean, if you look at the elements of story, conflict, drama, climax, all the stuff, that's what sports has, I think, both within a season, as you see a group of individuals, particularly in team sports, obviously, a group of individuals learn to work with each other and deal with adversity and all those different elements. So you start to see the story arc of every individual season, but I even think within each individual contest. I mean, I think that's why sporting events are so compelling for everyone. Mm. Is there's individual stories that start to then add up to this kind of cumulative impacting season that, yeah, I don't think there's a better story out there. Sometimes you've seen it. I mean, within especially college athletics, you couldn't write this stuff. You couldn't dream it up, you know? And so it's fascinating for me then as a kid, you start to really build on those, you know, and you remember them as a youth, you know, I think it has almost like a subconscious impact on us, you know? And then when we get older, if we're lucky, I mean, I think I'm the luckiest guy in the world to be able to do this for a living now. Right. And I think I wouldn't necessarily be able to do it or necessarily have an appreciation for it had I not experienced all those seasons on seasons on seasons as a younger kid.
What experience / story via sports influenced you the most as a child? Oh, it could be bad. You know, sometimes it is.
Man, that's a really good question. I mean, I will say this because I think it's something that every athlete deals with at some point in their life is adversity, you know, and I can recall certain instances, but I think just whenever you really start to, when things don't go your way, you know, and how are you going to respond, and then how does that shape you And I'll answer, this may be, I may be ducking your question, so you can feel free to nail me down on it. But, you know, I think that's the beauty of what we do here in college athletics. And so for me, you know, I have a real nonprofit mentality, and I don't think I'm going to be very successful at what I do unless I really, really believe in what I'm doing. And there was a time when I wasn't sure about college athletics, to be honest with you. You know, there's a lot of challenges to the amateurism model, and you know, a couple of years ago, there's the O'Bannon suit, there's Northwestern unionization talk. And so there was all these things, and I kind of had to go back. And for me, I really realized that, the things, at least as a professional, that I really cherished and I really wanted to cultivate in myself, all the characteristics are things that I had learned through sport and through team sport. And so going back to dealing with adversity, I think time management, I think effort and enthusiasm, I think the ability to work with people who are different than you, being exposed to people of different cultures and ethnicities, all those things. And for me, it was sports. And for someone else, it may be band, or maybe music, or maybe any number of things that you're just interested in. But I think that's what I really believe is powerful about what we do as a nonprofit entity, truly, in college sports, is we offer people the ability to get better as people. And so for me, when I was a kid, I didn't even necessarily realize that those things were happening. And I don't believe today a lot of those things do happen unless I'm exposed within the context of sports. So going back, whether it's adversity, whether it's learning to be a good teammate or any of those things, it's just so powerful, I think, to have those things happen when all you're trying to do is have fun and win a basketball game. You don't even realize you're showing up every day and you're becoming a better teammate, right?
What's your favorite children's book?
Say again?
Your favorite children's book.
Oh my gosh. I'm seeing them through we have a 10-month-old, so I'm seeing them all through different eyes. I don't know. I can't even recall a lot, to be honest with you. That's a bad answer. Sorry.
No, not a bad answer at all. Well, I'm trying to dive into, because your job here at the University of Washington, along with other people, but you're shaping the narrative, right? You're shaping the story. You know, across town, I heard this a couple years ago from the Seahawks and Kevin Griffith, who's, we both know, he's now with the Browns in their front office. But he asked me, what's your Super Bowl plan? And I was like, wow, that's an interesting question, right? And we have talked about that. Like, what's your national championship plan, your Heisman plan? So you're the, you know, you are the choreographer of story here. And you guys are doing a great job of it. And we're going to get into Purple Rain and UW and your football team as you're thriving. And I'm here to call a game. But that lens, I'm so intrigued by. Because this podcast, as you know, is about the idea of what makes us human. And I think it means going for it. And you learn these principles along the way. And I'm curious if you were conscious in your path that you were like, okay, I'm going to be a guy that seeks to look at things through a different lens. Because I don't think you disagree, but I don't think you look at things through a traditional scope.
Yeah, I think you have to be successful in this business. You have to always be challenging, I think, the norm and the way that people do things. And, you know, I think for us here, the thing that's so compelling. First of all, I feel like I found the Willy Wonka golden ticket, man. Being able to do what I do for a living at a place like this, at a time like this, with people that we have around here, it's a joke. And so the ability...
And describe that. Like, what is... For people that have no clue what marketing communication at your level at a major institution does.
Totally. Well, I think what's unique about this particular opportunity is... So I knew from, you know, when I got to college, and I did realize that my playing days were over, I knew that this is what I wanted to do in college athletics. And Yogi, I literally made a list and I said, okay, you know, based on some places that I would want to live, you know, and then, you know, you think about what environment might I want to do this in? Do I prefer a bigger school or smaller school? For me, I've always really loved a big state flagship institution and all the tradition and resource and all the things, infrastructure that come along with that. And, I made a list and UW was literally number one, and I'm in Florida.
Get out of here.
And so to be able to see that dream come true, I'm probably 20 at the time, 20.
What did you know about UW? I mean, we're the same age. UW wasn't really rolling in our era.
Really wasn't. Well, you look at, again, I think that's what's so unique. And I believe, and obviously, you know, I'm paid to be biased, right? But we still haven't even, we're at the tip of the iceberg, man. I mean, this place is such a sleeping giant. You know, you look at, again, a big, major state flagship institution in a top 15 media market. I mean, it's us and maybe one or two other places. Right. And so you look at a place that's as great to live as Seattle. And for us, I mean, I've always been compelled by the city and everything that it has to offer. And then, you know, an institution like this that has the athletic history, the academic reputation that it has, and everything else, as a place, it's special. But really, for me, you know, that's cool and that gets you so far. But I think we've all experienced those things where we've had a dream. We've really longed for something. And then we got that thing. And I was like, okay, you know, maybe you're a little disappointed. But the thing that's crazy about this deal is the place is fantastic and it's a no-brainer. But the people who are here right now and who have taken time and invested in growing me and teaching me and allowing me to tell their stories, Jen Cohen, our athletic director, Chris Peterson, you couldn't ask for better people to be around right now. And so I really, this thing is, it's about to take off. And so for me to have the ability every day to go to work, and my job is to tell that story. I mean, the number one thing about what I call it, storytelling with a purpose, right? And when you're working with a brand, you know, it's a nonprofit. The way we're structured, we got 22 sports. Football accounts for 87% of our revenue. Men's basketball is the other 13. So you have to be aggressive about monetizing those two sports in order to provide, you know, opportunities for the other 20 sports and to fulfill your organizational mission. So as a brand, storytelling is the thing that's going to work for us, right? And so the number one thing about storytelling with a purpose, I believe, is in this digital age, our consumers are really, really smart. You can't trick consumers a lot. So the number one thing is you got to have a great story to tell. People are going to know if you're trying to sell them something or feed them something. And for me, the depth of belief that I have in Coach Peterson, his staff and his program, what they're trying to build, our other sports programs, I mean, it's unbelievable. So to have the opportunity to come and, you know, wake up and come in an office and do that every day, I mean, it's like, it's a joke.
Okay, so I bet if people are listening, right? Number one, we get a lot of listeners who are trying to figure out their life. And then those that are in their life and trying to maybe adjust or pivot. You just talked about this depth of storytelling. You walk into the building with this crazy opportunity all day. So take us behind the curtain. Like, how do you decide or how do you cultivate the story to tell? I get there's a bunch of little B, C, D, E storylines, but how do you tell storyline A and decide? And is it anxious? You're like, what if I miss? Like, what if we've seen bad marketing plans as well.
Yeah, totally. That's a really astute question. And I think the thing that I get asked a lot about, hey, you know, what's Coach Pete like? You know, what's unique about him? And I think the number one thing from my perspective is he has such a strength of understanding his identity, who he is, who he's not, what his strengths are, what his weaknesses are. And so to me, that's where story starts, is this understanding your identity, understanding my identity as a storyteller, understanding his identity and what they're building as a program. I'd argue that's one of the main reasons they've been so successful on the field, is that they came in with such a clear vision of what they're trying to accomplish and weren't going to waver from that, really. So from a storytelling perspective, you know, the idea of knowing what you're all about at a core is hugely valuable, because that answers a lot of those questions. When you're like, what stories are we going to tell? Well, you really just reflect what the identity of the program is. And I think for them, that they're so clear on what that is and what it's not. You know, and when I think about, you know, as a consumer, I really enjoy film. When I think about filmmakers that I really love, you know, they know that. And it's one thing to exercise versatility, and that's important. But you notice, you know, the really successful ones kind of know where their lane is, and they own that, and they're really good at it. And so I think for us as a program, and then hopefully as a marketing and brand building department, we're just reflecting what they're all about. You know, so it becomes pretty easy if you start with that core. Now, a lot of the work we do is cementing what that story really is. And then telling it's easy, you know, because you're just really reflecting what those pillars are. A lot of the hard work and the heavy lifting is when you're working with coaching staffs who may not necessarily come in with as strong of identity.
So take us through that. Okay, so I can remember I was here the day Coach Peterson got hired. Mm-hmm. You know, we did an interview afterwards and he basically went to recruit, right? So you guys, and I'm sure you're obviously ahead of the curve, like regarding the media and the public of knowing what's happening, but you've got to pivot and get this message out. And here we are in year three, and this place is going bonkers for this program. How do you prepare to get your, and I don't know how long it is. Is it a half hour? Is it a full day? Is it a seminar? Is it a retreat? Like, how do you get your moments with a head coach who's got a million things happening, including actually building the players, and pull out the narrative and oh, by the way, you just maybe have met him for the first time. Why is he feeling the need to open up to you?
Yeah, and some staffs are easier than others. And so Coach Pete has been a dream to work with. And I think a lot of it actually for them, you know, college athletics is so unique as a brand marketer. And it's one of the reasons I love and will probably never leave college athletics is as a brand marketer, you actually have the ability to influence the strength of your product. So think about that for a minute. If you actually build a really successful brand that people want to be a part of, from a recruiting perspective, this is the only level of athletics when you can attract better talent and better fits for your program, which is going to build better teams who are going to win more games. And then your product, which is ticket sales, takes care of itself, right? So as a brand marketer, the recruiting piece of this is really, really unique. And so I think a lot of our coaches realize that. So in terms of prioritizing that, I mean, that's one of most new hires' first priorities is how do we get this recruiting angle right? And with Coach Pete, when he got here, specific to him, you know, they knew what they were all about as a staff and what their strengths were and what their weaknesses were. It was for him, it was more about, I could take the chance to educate him on this place a little bit and say, hey, here's some things that we've had success with from a branding perspective in the city of Seattle, or, you know, with what we call the greatest setting in college football, Husky Stadium and game day. And how do we package that? And how does that all fit into your larger narrative, which I think for him, he was really open to. But I think a lot of it does come back to, you know, most coaches, at least the good ones, understand how important the recruit branding is in the recruiting piece. And so they want to get it right. And if you can get with them early, especially in an instance like this, where they came in with such a firm grasp on who they were already, it starts to roll downstream pretty quickly.
The world the college football world at least has started to learn about Built for Life OKGs, right? If you look at two of the many pillars they have, but two big ones under Chris Peterson.
Yep.
How do you look at those and do you look at them and you're like, okay, Built for Life, I get it. We're going to build young men character. Every coach says that. Okay, our kind of guys, I get it. It's a cool, catchy phrase. Other schools use that too. Mm-hmm. How do you sexy that up? You know, how do you tie that to the recruiting? And maybe sexy it up is not the proper term, but make it really appealing and like, this is cool. It is cool to take the hard road. It is cool to be a real man, not like the dude with all the swag in the world. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of have a little bit of both if you do it right.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing for us is, you know, this program, I think Coach Pete in particular, they value authentic so much. And so we can never do anything that isn't going to be truly reflective of the experience you're going to have when you actually get here. And so for those guys, a lot of it, we always trace back, and my staff, you know, will beat me over the head because I say it day after day after day. You know, what is the why? You know, we always want to have everything that we do. You only have a finite amount of resource. And so you got to make sure that the way you're spending your resources ultimately tracking back to your objectives. So it's interesting for this staff. They're not necessarily trying to get every recruit. They're trying to get the right recruits. And so I would say making their message and their pitch as glorified and attractive as it possibly can is really not a high priority to them. Communicating authentically what the experience is going to be like when you're here, that's what's rewarding to them, because they want guys to know, hey, this is what it's going to be like. And by the way, it's going to be hard. Coach says it's probably going to be the hardest thing you're going to do in your life, but it's probably going to be the most rewarding thing too. And so then how do we capture that? You know, that becomes the challenge is, you know, how do you focus on guys who are at Boise who went through this experience with him and can talk to those things? You know, third-party testimonials are huge. Storytelling for us, if we can have the ability for someone who's actually done this with this staff and can actually talk about the rewards for them, that goes so many more miles than if, you know, me or somebody else is trying to tell them what it might be like if you do it. So that's been huge.
You've got these amazing posters along the city. I drive in, you land at the airport, walk around campus. It's all about the purple rain. Let the rain begin. How does that come about? How does that make even like the final list? Maybe I'd love if maybe you could tell us a couple others that maybe were finalists.
Yeah.
And then how do you decide? And what's that feeling like in the creative room? Because I compare it almost to like, I think of Nike and shoes, and you guys are in Nike school. I'm sure they sit in a room and campaigns, and they're like, okay, this is it, and they roll. What was that experience like?
Well, it's interesting, and this one tracks back. And I think as brand marketers, there's a few different approaches you can take. And some people actually, in my chair, for better or worse, probably would not have embraced Purple Rain. So Purple Rain is a concept that germinated from our football staff and from our team. And really, it's interesting because it kind of looked at, okay, so we've established Built for Life, which really represented coaches and our staff's desire to be training our players for a life of success, not just to win football games, right? Which is, you know, as you said, not uncommon for a lot of other people. You know, you had OKGs and some of these concepts. And so we started to really evaluate where we're at after year two. And I think as a staff, they generally felt like, okay, well, that's well and good, but let's not forget, like, we're trying to win some football games here too. Like, we're trying to accomplish some things on the field. And so Purple Rain is a concept that they kind of developed as really this aspirational stage. You know, people to always talk about the early 90s here when the football team was so successful and really dominant, I think, on the West Coast. And the way they describe it is it was everywhere. It was before the Seahawks had really emerged as a power. And so they felt like everywhere you turned in the city, there was just purple. And it felt like this rain, R-A-I-N, of purple, because it was everywhere, which obviously the city of Seattle, you know, you hear so much about the rain, right?
Right.
So this team developed this concept of a purple rain as really what they were trying to accomplish in terms of winning games, making an impact on the community, doing it the right way, and academically focusing as well. So as a brand marketer and me and my team, and we began to look at campaigning for this year, even to achieve our revenue goals, we realized that there was this concept that was germinating within our team. There's a lot of marketers who would say, yeah, that's cool, but you know, we're the marketing department. And so we tell you guys what the campaign and slogan is, and then you guys go coach football. But for me, if you're telling me that there's something authentic that a team believes in and they're actually into, and it's representative and kind of has organically bubbled up from their culture, then we want to swim downstream with that. And so we began to develop these different applications with some other key messaging in mind that we then tagged onto it. And so for us, the campaign from an external standpoint was Let Purple Rain Again, which I think hopefully embodies a lot of the hope that people felt about this season. And, you know, we're halfway through now and things are looking like they're trending in that direction. But really, to me, I think the key is, again, going back to from jump, having a grasp of who you are, what you're trying to accomplish. And then that's just, I mean, those branding campaigns, man, they're storytelling. That's all it is telling that story of those goals, of those characteristics. And that's where the fun part is, because you can actually get creative and throw a bunch of ideas out there.
You know, you mentioned revenue. It's a big part of collegiate athletics. We know that. Storytelling versus revenue.
Mm-hmm.
How do you look at that? You know, because I get the job, but As a pure storyteller, which yep. you described yep. a great path getting going, and I try to do the same, is there a pull there, or is yeah. it, let's tell the most badass story, yeah. And it will come?
That's such a good question, and it's something I've given a lot of thought to as a professional, and truly, as I've listened to other folks on this very podcast talk about their approach to storytelling. And you know, it's like any other art, you know, and if you think about commercial art versus, you know, art as a pure pursuit, we call it storytelling with a purpose. So I think the key for me is I got to believe in the purpose, right? And so at the end of the day, and I struggled with that, Yogi. Like, there's a time when I would get asked a lot of, hey, are you trying to be an AD? Do you want to be an AD? Is that what you're working towards? And I didn't know. I really didn't know. A couple summers ago, I took some time and stepped away to really try and figure that out, because as I mentioned before, there kind of were these challenges, and I'm kind of like, do I really believe in this thing? Is this just minor league sports, or are we really here to fulfill a greater mission? And when I kind of soul searched for that period of time and got away from it and started to realize the impact that this has had on my life and the potential that we can impact others with, I learned how much I really did actually believe in it, and perhaps how much I had never necessarily given credit to that before. So all that to say, for me, it starts with believing in the purpose, right? And so if you believe in the purpose of your organization, then you can storytell with pursuit of revenue, which is dangerous. You know, I mean, it is, because it's like, what are your pursuits? Are you actually trying to tell the most compelling story? Or are you trying to tell the story which is going to generate the most revenue? And that's a balance for us. I think, again, to touch on it, we probably err a little bit, I'd like to think, more on the authentic side. And I wouldn't necessarily say it's because we're, you know, our motives are totally altruistic. I think more than anything, it's because we think we have some smart consumers. And when we roll stuff out there that I think is pretty overt, I think people know that. And so I think for us, you got to be authentic. And if you're not telling a true story, if you're not telling the right story, people are going to know that. But it's definitely a balance.
Storytelling with a purpose. I feel like it's going to be the title of this. You start your career at Santa Fe Community College. What was the purpose then?
Oh, man, get better. That was the purpose. You know, for me, so I'm this kid and my basketball days are over. I'm really, really compelled with college athletics. And I'm so hungry to get better and I'm so hungry to learn. And it was fascinating for me at the time. I don't know. I just totally stumbled into it. I've been really, really lucky because I've had opportunities like this. I don't know there's a better place for me to learn and grow, because when you're in a
Santa
place
Fe
like
Community
that,
College,
yeah, you got it.
Nobody's
got
ever it, said man. That sentence before.
That might be the first one. You got it, because here's the deal. At a place like that, or for me, so I was there. Simultaneously, I was doing some work at Florida as well as a student. And then after graduation, had the opportunity to go home. For me, which is Jacksonville, Florida, and work at a tiny, tiny private school, Jacksonville University. And so though I viewed those opportunities as very, very similar, because, you know, when you're at a place like Jacksonville, it's a Division I school. So you're recruiting against the likes of Florida and Florida State and Central Florida, and you have the same recruiting needs, marketing needs, branding needs. You have the same goals and objectives and needs. You just don't have the staffing or the infrastructure. So as a young person eager to get that experience, I mean, you're not, if you want to do something, you're not pitching the committee on this and that. You're just doing it because there's nobody else there to do it. So I was like, yo, I was 18 years old and I was the sports information director for all the 14 programs there, just figuring it out on the job, man.
How has your purpose grown? I mean, I love the time that you took to do what we call like the lonely work, right? Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that at times, but okay, B18, 14 sports, yeah. Santa Fe, just yeah. figuring out Florida, whatever.
Yeah.
And now, storytelling with a purpose. What is your purpose?
I think it has to mature or it won't work. There's a lot of people in this business, and the entry-level jobs in our business are hyper-competitive because there's so many people, like myself, whose playing careers maybe came to an end, but still are really, really, you know, we're fans. We're all fans, right? We're into it. And we love sports and we want to be part of it. And that takes you so far. But I think if there's not a deeper sense of purpose beyond what you're doing, you see a lot of people leave the business 3 or 4 years in, because it's not easy. It's really not. If you don't love it and if you don't have a deep calling to do it, if you don't have a belief that you're making people's lives better, it's going to be really hard for you to build a sustainable path down the road. I've really been inspired. My wife, Lindsay, is trained as a special ed teacher. And to see the passion that she brings to her work and the calling about it and the rewards that come on the back end of that has really challenged me to look at my work a little bit differently. And so I think there's that maturation process that happens naturally for everyone. You kind of start because you love sports and it's fun to be a part of. But then I think you either realize, okay, maybe this isn't for me and I want to go make more money and do something else. And so I take a left-hand turn and get out. Or for me, I was able to kind of reinvigorate passion and get a deeper depth of purpose around what we do and the way we can do it and the impact we can make. And then it was like throwing gas on a fire for me.
Would you ever want to like direct a film?
Let's do it.
I'm all in. But I'm curious because in sports, at least what you're describing, right? In sports, it's very immediate reactionary in terms of they play, they win or they lose. What's the narrative? But in your job, as you described, you come in way months and months, years earlier, and you're like, okay, here is the story. Here, very similar to a film. You know, films are, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 8 years of a build. Curious with your background there, if you would ever be interested in that.
I would so love it. And I think the thing for me, we were talking about it just today with Jen Connor, athletic director, is the element that I would cherish if I was directing a film is control. Because in our business, you don't have it. You're ultimately at the mercy of a lot of different factors. The number one, the huge number one being team performance. There's been years where we thought like our best work around brand building, you know, packaging for a season, and the results just weren't there. And then there's been years, I mean, Purple Rain, we're getting a lot of acclaim for it. I think it's strong. I don't think it's the best work we've ever done as a group, but I think the team's really, really good. So as something like, you know, the ability to tell your own story and to control where it goes, I mean, that's something that I would, I mean, I would just love that.
I love it, man. What's it like working with Jen Cohen? You know, female athletic director,
yep.
known her for a while. She's phenomenal for yep. those that don't know her, but yep. you've worked with her on a variety of levels, kind of grown up in the business per se together yep. and then here.
So good. She's so, she empowers in a really unique way. And I think, she really trusts people to do their job. She's a great fit here. She grew up in the state of Washington and really grew up as a Husky fan. So I think she totally understands, and empathizes with our fan base in a different way. And so that's made her really, really successful. But I think as a professional, you know, it's been so awesome for me to learn from her and to see her development even, through the last few years. And now as a first time athletic director, she has an ability to, you know, even as an organizational culture, you know, she cares in different ways. She respects everyone. You know, you hear a lot of feedback in this business, a lot of passionate feedback. Monday morning, that email inbox is just jammed up. And she has an ability to hear and respect every perspective and viewpoint, which I think is unique. She's really, really good at that, whether it's internally or externally. And, you know, if you're in my role, you challenge yourself, hey, whoever I'm working with and for, I need to learn something from them, whether it's something I don't want to do or something I really, really want to do. And there's a lot that Jen has brought to the table that I really want to emulate.
What from her or her leadership style has made you a better storyteller?
That's a really good question. I think probably, and maybe with my team, and I hope that they would echo this too, is that empowerment and trusting others. You know, there's only so many hours in the day. We've got 22 sports programs here. So trying to do the best work you can by all these programs, at the end of the day, you know, there's only so much of you. And so I think she really gets that. And so she's hopefully empowered me, who then in turn can challenge and empower my team to do the same thing. But knowing that at some point you're going to have to let this go and you're going to have to set some parameters and hopefully provide some good guidance. But really, at the end of the day, you got to have a lot of trust in people.
So you kind of go from like the director of, say, football, if that was a film, to the executive producer of maybe some other sports.
That's right.
What is that like? In terms of, I mean, you're basically telling 22 short films to feature length docs to, you know, Amazon series, whatever it is, you know, hint, hint on The Drive next year. but you're telling these stories of so many different places.
Yeah.
And as a, you know, self-described storyteller, what's that like? Because like creatively, I feel like that could be exhausting to tell 22 different stories
daily.
Well,
and you hit the nail on the head, different. So the thing, exhausting, frustrating, super challenging, very rewarding at times. So the thing, we've done a lot of really interesting research with Coca-Cola and with Nike. So if you look at those two brands, there's this overarching master brand, right? So the Nike brand brings with it certain core values. But the Nike basketball brand is markedly different than the Nike football brand, than Nike soccer, than Nike golf. So similarly, you know, you see the same thing in Coke, right? Similarly, we have a brand umbrella in University of Washington Athletics that carries with it certain overarching values that guide and govern all of our programs. But program to program, the values that are, you know, represented in football may be and are likely totally different than that in volleyball and softball and men's tennis. And so the challenge of doing the work, first of all, not every coaching staff has as good of a grasp on that as Coach Peterson has. So a lot of times it's hard work to get these coaches to understand, hey, what are your unique strengths? What are you guys having success selling on the road and recruiting? How can we package that and boost your program's perception locally, nationally, regionally? So exhausting is a great word for it. I just wish we ultimately had the staffing and the time to do this to the extent that we do with football for every single sport, because they really do deserve it. But if you're going to do it right, again, if you're going to get those unique aspects of each story right and then reflect that and tell it, we call it communicate it relentlessly. So nail what you're about, nail what those pillars are that are unique to your program, and then communicate it relentlessly, which fortunately in this day and age, we have so many. We're all content creators. We have so many opportunities to do that. But across the board with 22 different sports, I mean, it's challenging.
Well, you do a beautiful job, and I'd recommend anybody just to look at the different social channels that you guys have. And curious, you know, if you look at, you know, we're the same age pretty much of our era in college, you're at Florida, and then you go to Santa Fe and you kind of build your path and keep rolling up. How have you seen the art of storytelling shift, if it has, or has it just been the outlet of storytelling shifting?
Yogi, it's so different. And the big difference, without boring you too much, is, so if you look at communication staffing, and this is particular to college athletics, but I think it's probably similar in a lot of different industries, you know, it's coincided with the decline in traditional media distribution. And so our staffing used to be built totally on media relations and media servicing. So your job as a storyteller, you didn't have a printing press, you didn't have a radio station, you didn't have a TV station. Your opportunities to tell your story were extremely limited. And typically what they looked like was you were telling someone else your story, and then you were hoping that they represented it the way that you wanted them to, which is suboptimal at best, right? So now we live in a world where, I mean, we got it all. We can tell our own story. And so the job then becomes, and now don't get me wrong, there's still a ton of value in traditional media relations channels and efforts, because there's different audiences, there's perceived neutrality, there's all these different benefits. But our job now becomes, how do we balance the ability to truly tell our story? And I think in terms of the art of storytelling, you now have the ability to get it a little more right, I think, because you have ultimate control over that. You can make sure that the image that's taken is exactly authentic. You can make sure the way things are described actually really do reflect the authenticity of the brand, as opposed to sometimes, and there's a lot of journalists who are really trying to get it right, but it's kind of like a game of telephone sometimes when you're telling them and they're telling audience and an audience is telling their friends. And now I think the ability to have a direct conversation with people is hugely valuable.
Okay, so last couple, we'll get you out of here, but outside the obvious answer here, curious how you think the Pac-12 network has helped your department as a storytelling entity.
Hugely, because I think going back to your earlier question about the other 22 sports in particular, now football and basketball, the value's over the top because the depth of coverage there, you know, those are sports that are going to get covered regardless. But we've added a ton of depth as a conference, I think. But the ability to not only televise events for women's tennis, but to have feature stories told about women's tennis, to have, that's really that, I think, the game changer that Pac-12 Networks has brought to us. Is you look at, if you're a fan, and you're a fan not just of Chris Peterson Husky football, but hopefully of, you know, maybe it's your alma mater, or maybe it's just an institution you really love and cherish, you're probably a fan of all these 22 sports. And so the ability to have some thoroughness across the board and depth of coverage in sports that wouldn't really get that airtime, it's been really, really helpful.
What's surfing's role in your life?
The first thing that comes to mind is my dad. So my dad, you know, growing up, I mentioned he was a hoops coach, and he was just my hero. And he was just the guy. And so for me, he grew up in Florida as well. And I think when I was like 11 or 12, maybe even 10, I somehow learned that he used to surf. And we lived a little bit. We didn't live quite on the coast. So we lived, it was maybe like a 20-minute drive or something. And so when I learned that, I said, hey, man, let's go. You got to teach me how to surf. Let's try this. And so he started doing it again. And now to this day, so that got him really reinvigorated in the sport. And so he still is at it now back in Florida. But I just think of he and I spending just such good quality time together. And I think it's interesting because we spent so much time in the context of basketball. But this was almost like a different outlet. You know, this was something different for us where it felt like we were away. I don't want to say that sports were like work by any means, but it was just a different outlet where I could kind of see a different side of him. He would just let loose. You could tell he was having a lot of fun. And so for me, it's been so much fun. I mean, you saw it firsthand, Yogi. I'm a terrible surfer. But somebody once told me, the best surfer in the water is the one who's having the most fun. And so I was the best surfer for a lot of days in that water.
And you're very humble. No, you rip, man. You talked a lot about the idea of your why. And to me, a fundamental question I try to ask on all these podcasts is, what brings you the greatest joy? So what is that? What is your why? What brings you joy in life?
Yeah, such a good question. For me, you know, I've thought a lot about, what do I want to do with my life's work? And not necessarily what positions do I want to hold or for what organizations do I work? You know, you think strategic about some of those things, but I just think like, hey, when this is all said and done, you know, you're getting that gold watch and you're done with it all. And you're looking back on it, like, what type of professional did I want to be, you know, did I want to become? And am I working towards that? for me, the foundational element of all of it for me is gratitude. If you're not approaching your work with gratitude, you know, there's two ways you can look at things, and it's kind of glass half full, glass half empty, and classic things I think we all battle internally with is if you can't find reasons to be really, really fortunate with the situation you're in, I've got a hard time believing you're ever going to be gratified as a professional. So when you talk about, and I tend to think, you know, there's so many things that bring me joy as a person, my family. I mean, we just had a young son, Jack, and so loving that process. But, you know, I think professionally for me, having gratitude, the days when I'm able to really just have express and hopefully infuse gratitude with me and my team, and just really be grateful for the opportunities we've been afforded now. I think that's how you get better. I don't think you get better unless you start with that foundational element of gratitude. And for me, there's a lot of things I think you can work at. You can become, you know, more talented, you can communicate better, you can, there's a lot of different things you can improve. But unless you start with an appreciation for the situation you're in, the people who have helped get you to where you are, how many people don't have opportunities like you do, unless you start with that element of gratitude, I don't think you're going to get very far. So for me, it's that, it's really that, those days of gratitude.
That's pretty cool. And I've been on this kick about the word essence, you know, and it's kind of like purpose versus essence. Okay, like you have this great job, you're a baller, you're one of the chief storytelling people here at the University of Washington, but the essence of that may not be in the outcome, right? And you just kind of touched upon, it sounds like the first step is gratitude. What is the essence then, if that's, you know, the quote unquote outcome?
Well, I would even say, I would rewind and I would actually say gratitude is the essential element. So you got to start with gratitude. Like that's at the core.
Right on.
So wherever I'm at, you know, I could lose this job tomorrow and be doing something totally different, but I'm going to challenge myself to be really, really grateful for wherever I am, wherever I'm at, because there's somebody who's got it worse than I do.
Right on.
So I think that's actually at the essence, is that's the essential element, is you start with gratitude and then you layer on top of those other things.
That's cool, man. I love that. Last couple. So you've heard this before. I'm obsessed with this idea that we all have a flame, right? And sometimes the flame is low and you need a new log. You need to flip the fire over, and sometimes it's roaring and people are around and they're warming their hands up, maybe like your staff is. If you were to take a minute and step outside your body and you looked at Carter Henderson, what would you describe the flame as?
I think a lot of it goes back to, and I think, again, I'm answering kind of like through a professional lens, but I think a lot of it does go back to, hopefully there's a belief in the impact that we're able to make, you know, and I don't think you make it. When I think of people that I admire in our business, they share this deeper sense of purpose about what college athletics can do. You think about college athletics, it's no different than a university. You know, you think about, why do you go to college in the first place? You're going to invest a lot of your time, energy, money, effort, because you believe that at the end of a process, you're going to create better opportunities for yourself. College athletics should be no different. We should be infusing skills, learning lessons, opportunities. We should be making our student athletes better and affording them better opportunities so that when they graduate, they're much better prepared for life when they leave here. And so for me, my flame is that. It's helping do that. Now, there's days when you're like, you're struggling to connect the dots because you're like, okay, wait a second. I'm trying to tell this story and I'm building it so I can sell some tickets. And then, you know, how does this actually happen? Right. And I'm kind of jealous a lot of times of our coaching staff's ability to impact kids directly, because I don't have that ability. I can work with my staff and that's really helpful. But I think for me, hopefully I'm driven by this ultimate purpose to be here, about what our organization can do. And I think I'm talking about the impacts of a student athlete. I'm not even touching on what we can do for a community who needs to believe in things. You know, what types of stories can we tell that are going to take a kid like me who's loving sports and maybe inspire them to do something great with their life? You know, there's all these endless streams. But for me, hopefully when I think of that flame of passion, it's all about contributing to our overall mission, which I really, really believe in.
Let's just pretend UW is in the Final Four, winning a natty. Jake Browning goes to New York City. We're all there. he wins the Heisman. What do you think out of, if those two things happen, is the chief storyteller here, marketing, communication, and somebody whose essence is gratitude, mm-hmm. place yourself in those settings. You know, are you stoked beyond belief, or is there something even deeper as a storyteller that you're like, yeah, you know, like Jake balled out, but you got to know a young man who doesn't read the newspaper, isn't worried about anything, the hard work, and Chris Peterson's about things way beyond X's and O's and just winning games.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, you're really, like, that's one of the really cool things about this industry is you get to know kids. And so in that scenario, you're just super stoked for Jake.
But do you play off of, like, okay, his personality clearly is not one of, like,
yeah,
give me some shine. Mm-hmm. But you got to balance, like does that, is it almost like, all right, let's tell a story that doesn't have a lot of shine on it because that is so authentic to your point, to the character.
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, now, you know, Jake doesn't want a lot of overt shine, but Jake wants to be the very best quarterback in America.
Right.
So
right.
He's going to be pretty happy in that scenario. So he's as competitive as they come. So I think, yeah, again, you go back to authenticity and you got to try and find, you know, for me, I would say, first of all, you know, when I'm dreaming of that scenario, I'm taking a step back to say, how in the world did I get here and how lucky am I to be on this ride? Because there's so many people who could do this thing. And so I would feel really, really grateful again for the opportunity to do it. And then you start to think about, okay, again, going back to your earlier comment about your Super Bowl plan, first of all, hopefully we're prepared for that moment.
Right.
Hopefully that's not actually a surprise to us. Cause again, I think we're making a mistake if we're doing this thing and we're not expecting to get there one day.
Right.
So for us, hopefully we're ready. And then at that point, you're kind of moving on to the next challenge and you say, hey, where do we go from here? And what can we do with all this stuff?
Last two questions, man. What makes you feel the most alive? I mean, you've done a lot of things, from hoops to surfing to everything here at this institution.
People, relationships, because I think even, you know, whether it's anything you do in life, it's all about people. And especially as it relates to our industry, it's totally people. I mean, you think of what makes athletic departments and college sports programs successful. It's humans, you know, and I think a lot of times we jump to the facility solution or the money or the uniform solution or whatever. It's people. I mean, there is empirical research about this. It is program builders. You look at Chris Peterson, the reason we're successful in football right now is because Chris has built this thing up and people want to be around him. And so for me, and especially as an aspiring athletic director, like that's my vision, is how do I build a culture which attracts the right people who are going to then really achieve our mission at a high level. So what makes me feel alive is you and I having this conversation, me getting to connect with you and go surfing with you in Venice, me and, you know, when opponents come to town. We play Oregon State this week, and I'm really looking forward to a couple, you know, conversations I can have with friends and connect with them. Just interacting with people, I think that's when I, you know, in building those relationships, that's when I just love it.
That's awesome. And then lastly, how do you feel about the word limits?
Ooh, no limits, man. I've thought about that. And as I've listened to your podcast, the answers have been fascinating. And the thing that for some reason kept coming to my mind, and again, I feel like I'm limiting because I'm only answering these questions from a professional lens, but I think about, and I think maybe it's because I think I have such a deep respect for you and what you do and the approach that you bring to it. I think a lot of times in sport, and perhaps I would even say in other cultural interests, we limit ourselves. We kind of put blinders on. There's a lot of people in our industry, and I'm guilty of this too, who are all about sport 365, 24/7. And I just think that's really limiting. You know, I think this is a really big world, man, and there's a lot that can offer us. I've always loved, in particular, your ability to look beyond sport and be inspired by music and make a film and travel and try new things. And that's always been a priority for me, but you got to work to sometimes push yourself outside of those limits because it's really, really easy to get wrapped up in the next challenge and keep those blinders on. But when I think about limits and a life without limits, for some reason to me, that's the concept that keeps coming back to me, is like, how do we make sure we're not limiting ourselves? So it's great. If you believe in the mission of college athletics, that's fantastic, and pursue that. But don't make it at the expense or, you know, exclusive. That pursuit's not mutually exclusive. with enjoying film and with, you know, learning about other cultures. Like, we're on a world-renowned university right here. And hopefully that's something that's getting, that message is getting brought to our student-athletes too, is like, cherish this time when you can just learn about different things, you can explore different things. That's my hope for a lot of our student-athletes, is that they'll live that life without limits of only focusing on what's right in front of you, and really push through and learn about new things, try new things, develop new interests, because I think that's what makes you a whole balanced person.
So for a guy who loves film, loves stories, creates stories, what's the title of your film if it's you, if it's your life?
Hoosiers 2. No, I'm just kidding.
Jimmy Chitwood.
the Return of Chitwood. Oh my gosh. I don't know. It's such a tough one. If I knew it, I would probably do it, Yogi.
Okay. All right. So that's part two. After the film, we'll come back on and get you in.
I love it. I love it.
I love it, man. Well, thanks for the time. This has been great.
Likewise. No, it's an honor to be part of it. Like I said, I listen to it a lot and have really loved what you're building here. Happy to be a small part of it.
I love it, man. All right, Carter Henderson. Here we are in this beautiful setting in Seattle. It's perfect on the campus. Thanks for listening. As always, rate, subscribe, review, tell your friends. Dive into UW. Check them out on the field this fall. They got a great story. And as always, we always end this podcast with a simple reminder that the only limits that you have in life are the ones you set yourself. Peace.